Our last reading this evening is found in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 60. Just reading the first six verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense, and they will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. You know, we often think in this season of the Gospels, especially of Matthew and Luke, and we think about mangers, and we think about shepherds, and we think about magi. But we really see Christ not just in the New Testament, we see Him in the Old as well. And Isaiah 60 shows us that Christ came in the flesh that the nations might stream to His glory. Christ really came in the flesh. God the Son really became a man. Now He was from eternity, as Micah says, the prophet Micah. In other words, Christ didn't come to exist when He was born. He took upon Himself flesh when He was born. God the Son became a man, and He did that the nations might stream to His glory. And that means that you and I should rise and shine. Arise and shine, He says, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I went out early the other morning, or late in the evening, I can't remember which it was, to take the dog out, because I'm the one that takes the dog out. And it was just getting lighter. It was just getting light, as I think about it now, because of the direction. It was just getting light. And there was this tall tree in the front yard. And as I looked up, I could see the rays of the sun hitting the very top leaves of the tree. And it was like they lit up. Now, what He says to us here is that we are to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. The church of Christ is like a city set atop a hill. We're to arise, we're to reflect, we're to shine the glory of God. And that's to be done in the midst of great darkness. Isaiah says, "For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples." You and I live in a world of spiritual darkness. And it's not that the world out there and overseas is a world of spiritual darkness. You and I, every one of us, we live in a world of spiritual darkness. We live in a world that is spiritually inky black. And in fact, when we look at the Gospels, John reminds us that it's not just that we live in darkness, we love darkness. In and of ourselves, apart from God's renewing grace by the power of the Holy Spirit, we live in darkness. No. And we don't want the light. We don't like the light because it exposes who and what we are. And again, if we look at the narrative of the Incarnation, we see how callous we are. Think about it. A family shows up in a town in the middle of the night. The mom is about to give birth. And what does the innkeeper say? No room in the inn. Go to the barn. And again, imagine how much we love our children and we prepare for them and we get the nursery ready when they're coming and we take them to a place where they can come into this world. It's safe and it's clean and they get lots of help. Mary and Joseph have to go out to the barn. And then she takes this little baby and she wraps him in cloths and she puts him in a feeding trough. That's what a manger is. It's a feeding trough. We tend to think about the manger and we think that that's quaint and cute. The manger was humiliating. The God who made the universe was wrapped in cloths and put in a feeding trough. And yet that same baby was the light of the world. That same baby was the glory of God come into our midst. Are you reminded this evening that the glory of the Lord has risen upon us in Christ? 2,000 years ago, God's glory shone upon us in Christ so that we might reflect His glory, so that we might worship Him, so that we might know Him, so that we might become more and more like Him. Because of what Christ did 2,000 years ago, God says, "Arise, shine." But then He also says, "Look and see." In verse 3, He says, "Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising." Now, He doesn't say that the nations will come because they want to be just like you or because you did something to attract the nations. What God is saying is the nations will come because of the light that's shining upon you. And then He goes on and says, and picture this, "Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar and your daughters will be carried in the arms." And the image here is of the nations streaming to the people of God. In our context, we would say the nations streaming to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is a remarkable thing. Because if you go back 2,700 years to the time of Isaiah, this is the setting in the day of Isaiah. The Jewish people saw the nations around them as nations that hated them and wanted to stamp them out. And so, they hated them back. They believed the nations hated them. They hated the nations. And so, they were exclusive. They excluded those that were not ethnically of the house of Israel. And yet Isaiah says here, in that context, 700 years before the coming of Christ, Isaiah says that the nations will stream. And notice that it even says that the sons are coming from afar and the daughters are carried in the arms. Imagine this picture. Imagine you look and you see this horde of ISIS jihadists streaming toward you. And it's not just that these ISIS jihadists are streaming toward you, but they're carrying your grandchildren. They're carrying your grandchildren in their arms and they're bringing them back to you. They're coming to be a part of the people of God. You and I should marvel at the picture here that Christ has come in the flesh that the nations might stream to His glory. You and I ought to rejoice every day and praise the Lord that every day God is making the nations to stream to His glory. Every day God is saving to Himself those who have not known the Lord Jesus Christ, opening their eyes to see their sin and need, bringing them to trust in Christ for salvation. If you're visiting with us tonight, you may have noticed when you walked in, there are some architectural renderings in the foyer because we're in a building program here at Fellowship. And Lord willing, I've said this before, but think about this. For those of us that are members here, you realize this may be our last Christmas celebrating in this room. I mean, Lord willing, ground will break in the spring. It won't break by itself. We'll break it. And then that sounds apocalyptic, doesn't it? But the ground will break and it will break ground in the spring. And then the building should take, they tell us, 6 or 7 months. So if all of that goes as it is predicted to go, then Lord willing, we'll be in a new facility this time next year. And one of the things that you might have noticed, if you look at those architectural renderings, one of the nice things is the big windows. Now, imagine looking up the hill as you pull into the driveway and There's that new building, and there are those windows, and they're lit up, and the light is streaming out of them. And now imagine that as you get out of your car and you look back, you look down at Old Spartanburg Road, and there are cars backed up down Old Spartanburg Road waiting to be able to turn in. You look over at Batesville, and there are cars that are turned, there are cars that are backed up, 10, 20 cars of people waiting to be able to turn in to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ as His people, to join in the fellowship of the saints, giving Him praise. Well, that's the image of what God is doing here as he says, arise, the light of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is shining upon you, and the nations are streaming toward you. And that ought to be something in which we rejoice. Again, God has always been saving a people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Again, think about even the change now from 2,700 years ago. 2,700 years ago, when Isaiah was writing, many of the Jews would have found the thought of a lot of Gentiles streaming into the church as almost unthinkable. Today, the church is primarily Gentile. My guess is most of us in this room are exclusively, entirely, or at least primarily Gentile. And yet God is still gathering more and more to Himself. And as He gathers more, just like Israel really didn't have exclusive claim to God because they were ethnically Israel, we don't have exclusive claim to God simply because we've been here for 30 years or because we're those who make up Fellowship Church right now. It's not our church. And as God brings new people to Himself, it's not a threat to our traditions. It's God growing His kingdom. God says, look up and see, they're streaming into you. And then finally, in verse 5, we should note that He says, then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice. You will see that the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, that the nations are streaming to God, that are streaming to the good news of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And that will cause your hearts to swell with joy. In verse 5, He says, and your heart will thrill and rejoice. Literally, your heart will tremble and become enlarged. You will rejoice that God is saving a people to Himself. Let me ask you this evening, are you rejoicing that God is saving a people to Himself? Do you and I rejoice that 2,000 years ago, Christ came, the glory of the Lord, the light of the world, to save sinners, that He might gather more and more to Himself, even more to those that have already been gathered? And sometimes we see the exciting blessing of that in our lives, and sometimes God uses us through a period when we will never see the full realization of it. And yet God will continue to gather a people for Himself. Let me just use another, just by way of illustration, with regard to the growth that we've seen in recent years and then what that's meant in terms of facilities. I was riding down the road with some of my kids recently, and somehow we were talking about the piece of property here on the corner. And I see a few faces that actually remember when this property was purchased, but most of us, we were nowhere around when this property was purchased. And the church bought about 9 acres on this corner. A great part of town, a great place to have a piece of property for a church, and purchased about 9 acres. But if you look at the property, we don't use most of the property right now. And one of my sons said, well, Dad, why did the church buy all that property? I mean, we didn't need that kind of property 30-something years ago. Why did we purchase all of that property? And I said, well, it's because, just humanly speaking, probably it came up for sale and it was a good opportunity to buy it. But I said, ultimately, there were people who were here that had the foresight to say, you know what, it would be a good thing to have this property 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road. And so they purchased the property. Now here's the thing. Most of those folks are no longer here. Some of you have heard me say recently, I think we have 6 of our charter members that are still that are still here. But that's just a tiny fraction. And we have a number that have gone on to be a part of other local Christian bodies, and we have a number that have gone home to be with the Lord. And I'm not even going to try to name some of those names because I've heard a number of them, and if I try to name anybody, then I'll neglect to name somebody that I should name. But here's the point. God established a local congregation here 30-something years ago. And it was a small group of folks compared to the number that we have here now, most of whom are not here. Some have gone home to be with the Lord. Some come back and visit from time to time. A small number still here. And yet God used His people, even though there are some that never personally saw the realization of what they were laboring to do. Some of them have gone home to be with the Lord, which, by the way, the sanctuary they see now is way better than the one we'll build. But God has used those brothers and sisters and is working through the body of Christ now to gather a people to Himself. And one day we will have been gathered and Christ will return. Christ came in the flesh that the nations might stream to His glory. You know, this is a season when we send cards, and one of the types of cards out there that people often send, and maybe you like these, maybe you don't, are the Thomas Kincaid cards. You've seen them. They're basically sort of Victorian. Usually it's nighttime and it's snowing and it's either a nice house or a church. That's sort of the way that Thomas Kincaid postcards or paintings look. And some people like them and some people don't. You know, I really like them, and here's why. Here's what's sort of common to Thomas Kincaid postcards or drawings. They seem to always depict a cold night with a house or a church that is bright and warm. Outside it is cold and dark, but there is a place where it is bright and warm. And because of God's grace in Christ, the church is a place that is to be bright and warm. By God's grace, that is what we are. It is a world that is inky black. It is a world that is cold and dark because of the night of our sin. And yet Christ shone in that night. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Christ came in the flesh that the nations might stream to His glory. Let's go to Him together now in prayer. Almighty God in heaven, we marvel again that You would so love us that You would give Your Son for our salvation. And Father, You did not send Your Son to save the righteous, but sinners. You did not send Your Son into a palace, but into a barnyard. You did not send Your Son into a world that would recognize and receive Him and rejoice in Him. You sent Christ Jesus into a world that would despise and victimize and even seek to destroy Him. And yet the life that He lived and the death that He died for our salvation. Father, make us know in this season how intimately You know us because Your Son took upon Himself flesh. And Father, when we think that others might not understand or don't understand, make us see that Christ has been tempted in every way in which we might be tempted, in every way in which we might be persecuted, and yet without sin. And Father, we pray that You would make us see that we would grasp all the more that the debt of our sin has been paid fully in Him. Lord, again, we pray that You would give us hearts to rejoice that our Savior became one of us, so that we might be Your sons and daughters. Through Him we pray. Amen. Again, Christ came that the nations might stream to him. And he came, as I heard someone say years ago, that his grace and that his mercy might be known as far as the curse is found. Everywhere that the curse is found, everywhere that there are the effects of the fall, and that is all over the world, now Christ has come that his grace might be known there as well. And so let's conclude by singing together hymn number 195, Joy to the World.